your host, John Schmelk.
Welcome to Big Blue Kickoff Live right here on Giants.com. 201-939-4513. Hashtag Giants Chat on Twitter. Good morning, everybody. Hope you all having a good day. Got to be honest, kind of just want to talk about the NBA Finals games from last night. Saying one of the best games I've seen in a long time in terms of the NBA, and I watch more than 100 games a year. Wow, unbelievable game. I want to strangle Manu Ginobili. Thinks he plays for the Heat, apparently. Stop jumping in the air and trying to make passes, and how about hitting your free throws? Anyway, I'll try to focus. Our question of the day posed on Twitter, best Giants running back tandem in history. Now, there are a couple different ways to look at this. The issue you really have is that until the late 2000s, you never really had a situation where the Giants used two running backs at a time. It was always a one running back attack, whether it was Joe Morse, O.J. Anderson, Rodney Hampton. They really didn't spread the load all that much. It was a one guy and go, even up until Tiki Barber, who eventually became a one-man machine. I know the Tiki Ron Dane Thunder and Lightning attack lasted about a year or two until Ron Dane found his way out of town. But Tiki was really a number one legit running back, and towards the end of his career took all the carries. So the question you really get to is there a better running back tandem than Jacobs and Bradshaw? Because that's really the best tandem you got, in my opinion. I think it's better than Tiki and Dane. I think Tiki's better than either Bradshaw or Jacobs, despite the fact that Giant fans have a lot of problems with him. Just look at his production. He's better. He's the best out of that group. But Ron Dane really didn't give you a whole lot. And I think the second guy in that group is better than Ron Dane by a greater extent than Tiki is than the top guy from Bradshaw and Jacobs. You throw Derek Ward in the mix with the Earth, Wind, and Fire group. Then, of course, you got the David Wilson, Andre Brown group, which really hasn't done enough, hasn't proved anything, quite frankly. So you really can't put them in the mix. So is it Tiki and Dane? Is it Jacobs and Bradshaw? Or maybe you have a dark horse in there somewhere. Give us a call, 201-939-4513. We can talk about the Giants' current running back situation as well as we move along here on Big Blue Kickoff Live. Sorry for being late, by the way. Had to bring my car in to get fixed at a Honda dealership, and you know how that goes. Never easy. Let's go to our phone to say hello to James down in Texas to lead off the show. James, what's going on?
Nothing much, buddy. I was just listening to you talk about the running backs the Giants have been through, and honestly, I think Bradshaw and Brandon Jacobs were the best pair that we've actually had, because that was the first year that they've actually split the carries, as you reiterated. But I think this year could be one of the first years that we could return to a decent pair, actually having a few options with Wilson being the starter and Terrain on a depth chart and a few other options there they've managed to add on. But it's going to be an interesting year, another good tight end, and Cruz is back. And so the running game will have something else to distract from, you know.
No, you're 100% right, and I think Giants have all the talent in the world in their two running backs this year, and David Wilson and Andre Brown. But the problem is that neither guy has proven they can carry the load, even half a load, and stay healthy for an entire season. So to me, that's really the trick here, and trying to figure out whether or not those guys have what it takes to stay healthy over the course of the year, and also do the little things, like be the third down back, protect Eli Manning. Those guys haven't yet proven they can do that yet over a 16-game season.
True. And then Wilson's thing is, I don't think that Coughlin's as worried about his experience as much as his blocking and his fumbling. So I think that, you know, from the OTAs, they said Myers and Randall and a bunch of the other guys were catching up everything. So, like I said, I'm hoping that, you know, some way Eli will open up the running game through his arm. So maybe that'll help the inexperienced part, and hopefully Myers can help them with some blocking, you know, so he won't take the punishment that'll cause him to fumble the ball, you know.
I appreciate the call, man. Thanks a lot.
All right.
Thanks, James. And look, Eli and the running game are going to work side by side, and one's going to help the other. That's just how it goes. But the Giants could certainly love if they could get that, you know, safety into the box, put 8 men at the line of scrimmage, then all of a sudden Cruz, Nixon, Reuben Randall have a lot of time to work outside. And the Giants' running game was better last year than it was during the Super Bowl season. But was it where they wanted to be in terms of being a power-dominant running game? Nope. Got to get better. 201-939-4513. Anthony's in New York. Anthony, good morning.
Hi, how are you?
What's going on?
I think hands down the best running back tandem has got to be Jacobs and Bradshaw.
Why is that?
I just think Jacobs was able to be a horse almost every down and then have the lightning come in with Bradshaw, be able to deceive the defense.
Yeah, look, and I think that certainly worked. You know, Jacobs was the hammer. You wear him down, wear him down, wear him down, wear him down. And, you know, and eventually you bring in Bradshaw, and with the defense a little bit slow, he makes some big plays. And it worked. It was a system that worked for the Giants, and it certainly, you know, is something that was effective. And then later on, you had Bradshaw be the first guy, Jacobs come in as a secondary guy, and that combination worked too. So I think that was the Giants' first true split backfield, and it worked.
Yep. And two guys that I think that are going to have breakout years, Prince and Randall.
How many
young guys with a lot of talent.
How many interceptions for Prince this year? Give me a number.
I say 4.
I think that's a good number. I think the Giants would sign up for 4. I think that would be a nice step in the right direction for Prince. Anthony, we appreciate the call, man. Thanks a lot.
All right. Have a good one.
Great. 201-939-4513, and I think those are two good breakout candidates. Don't disagree with either one of them. Go to John in Tenafly, New Jersey. Johnny, what's going on?
Yeah, I think the best running back tandem, as like I said before, would be Bradshaw and Jacobs. But back in a couple of years ago when they had Derek Ward, Ahmad Bradshaw, and Brandon Jacobs, Earth, Wind, and Fire,
yep.
And that was the craziest tandem ever because you had Bradshaw at the hard-nosed football, and you had Jacobs who would weigh the teams down, and you had the young fire legs and Derek Ward who just demolished defenses.
Yeah, and that really was the beauty of that 2008 team. You know how great Eli Manning is and, you know, Plaxico Burress and all that stuff. But the Giants pounded the ball that year. They pounded it and pounded it and pounded it. They almost had 2,000-yard rushers. Then they had Derek Ward, who were about 500 or 600 yards himself. They were the best rushing team in the NFL, and they were a machine when it came to running the football. Obviously, once Burress shot himself in the leg, destroyed the season, you know, teams could gang up on the run a little bit more, and it made it more difficult to run without that down-the-field threat. But that, to me, was the trademark of that 2008 Giant team, their ability to run the ball whenever they want.
Yeah. So another question. Do you think Tom Coughlin has enough trust in David Wilson to be the starting back or be the dominant back of the Giants?
I do. I believe he does have enough in him to trust him, but is there also an opportunity for David Wilson to make enough mistakes during the preseason or training camp where Tom Coughlin loses that trust in him? Yes, I also think that's a possibility. So I believe Coach is on his way to trusting him. I think he wants to, but David Wilson better keep, you know, doing the right stuff and not making mistakes, because Coach Coughlin will not be afraid to go to somebody less explosive if he can rely on him to do the little things like protect Eli Manning and not fumble the football.
All right, thank you.
Hey, appreciate the call, Johnny. Thanks a lot. 201-939-4513. Shakes is down in Baltimore, Maryland. Shakes, what's happening?
What's going on, man?
How are you, brother?
I'm all right. First, I want to answer the little mini question that you gave the other caller. Prince going to have 5. I'm predicting it now. He's going to have 5 interceptions.
Okay, that's a good number. I like
it. Yeah. I'm telling you, big year for my boy. I'm high on Prince, and I'm high on Curry, as everybody knows. to answer the question, I was going to say Derek Ward and Brandon Jacobs. Reason why is because, like you said, they was both 1,000-yard rushers. And in that year with the Earth, Wind, and Fire, it was unstoppable. But I'm going to tell you my favorite tandem. And I'm going to have people thinking back on these days. But Rodney Hampton and Dave Meggett, man. Rodney Hampton and Dave Meggett.
Yeah, you know what? It's funny. They weren't a traditional split backfield in that, you know, Megat really didn't get a ton of carries, but he was a guy that caught a lot of passes. He was the third down back. So if you want to call Megat and Hampton a true tandem, I'll buy that. And if you do, I think they're right in the mix with those other guys we talked about.
He is. I like Megat because Megat was just – he was a high-energy guy. He just did everything. He was like – he was our Brian Mitchell before Brian Mitchell came to us. I wanted to speak on something.
Sure.
Because Perry Fuel, he said this year's motto for the defense is togetherness, stopping the run. And I feel like that's important because I think that that's the main thing that was wrong with us last year and why it's a trickle-down effect. I mean, because for a simple fact, if you can't stop the run, then what, second and third down should be easy. You know what I mean? And if you run the ball on first down and you get a bunch of yards, second and third down should be easy to pick up. And that's hard for corners to really, you know what I mean, lock down on their receivers when it's that easy to get a first down. You know what I'm saying? And then the sacks, all that. It was a trickle down effect. So I think if we can stop the run, then on the next two downs they gotta really pass it. It'll be a little harder, you know, the corners can lock down a little more and that pass rush can come on. So yeah, the stopping the run is, I think that's main priority.
Hey, I've been saying it since the beginning of the offseason. To me, the biggest reason the Giants didn't make the playoffs last year was because they couldn't stop the run. And you're right. It trickles
right
down to everything else that you do. You can't rush the passer when it's second and one, third and three. You just can't do it. It's too hard. It makes it too hard on your defensive line. And that's job number one for the Giants this year, stopping the run. Perry Fuel knows it. The defensive line knows it. The linebackers know it. That has to be job number one.
That's why I like his new motto, togetherness. You got to play as one unit, man. And another question I had was, what was so bad about Hosley that everybody's so very concerned on him? Like, I watched a lot of games, of course. I watched every game. I watched every game since I can remember. And I didn't see Hosley being that bad.
I was surprised, too. I thought people were probably a little bit too pessimistic on him. When we talked about the corners yesterday, a lot of people had either Ross or Thomas in that slot spot instead of Hosley. Look, rookie cornerbacks are always going to struggle in their first year. Remember, Hosley was only a third-round pick, so I think you can expect a fair amount of improvement from him in year number two. The issue with Hosley last year, he didn't give up a huge volume of receptions necessarily, Shakes, but if you look at some of the advanced statistics, the percentage of passes that were thrown his way that were completed were extremely high. And overall, obviously, the Giants' pass defense wasn't very good overall. So that's obviously a bad thing, too. But Hosley, I think, flashed some skill last year. He still has a lot of stuff to work on, a lot of stuff to polish up. But I think he showed enough that to make you believe he can be a slot corner in this league in the long term. Whether he does it this year or not, he'll have to prove it. But I think he has it in him.
Okay. And is Brewer the next Booth? Because they moving him all over the place.
Well, if James Brewer can be Kevin Booth, the Giants will sign up for that right now. You know, James Brewer hasn't proven yet he can actually be effective in the NFL. So this is a make-or-break offseason for him.
Okay. And I got high hopes for the linebackers because I just think that they're going to be healthy. And like, you was kind of a little down on your boy Sharp. Hey, will he let you down last year or something?
Who are you talking about?
Keith Rivers.
Oh, well, I mean, look, I was high on Keith Rivers in training camp, but the guy's never healthy. I mean, he was active for, four or five games last year?
Yeah, but, I mean, you can't stay hurt forever. I mean,
he's been hurt for 4 years. It's been 4 years he hasn't stayed healthy. Eventually, you have to take a hint. You got to take a hint eventually, you know?
Yeah, well, he got a new off-season program. Maybe that works. He got a new workout.
Appreciate the call, Shakes.
All right, man. I'll talk to you tomorrow.
Thank you. Unless he pulls on some kind of $4 million man thing where he's getting some, you know, cyber parts put in. I'm not sure if that's going to work. It's got to be some work guy regimen. Look, Keith Rivers has it in him to be a good player if he stays healthy, but why would I believe Keith Rivers could stay healthy? Fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. Fool me four times. What is that? I mean, come on. There are some guys that just can't stay healthy. That's the way it goes. Carl Pavano, anybody? Remember him? Antonio McDice? Remember him? Going across the sports here? I mean, some guys just can't stay healthy. That's the way it goes. 201-939-4513. Let's go to Joe down in North Carolina. Joe, what's going on?
Yes, I'm calling about the best Giant tandem.
Yeah, what do you got, Joe?
Running back, I think, because it's been a while, about 50, 60 years. The Giffer and Tucker or was Webster?
You know what? It was funny. When I started the show, I was trying to remember what. Because obviously Frank Gifford's one of the best players in NFL history, and he was one of the Giants' running backs. I was trying to remember who the Giants' running back was with Frank Gifford back in the heyday. You think it was Webster or Tucker? Who do you think it was?
I think they were the fullback back then.
All right, you know what? Joe, hold on 1 second. I'm going to put you on hold there for 1 second. You stay, hang out for a second. I'm going to take a look here and see if I can find real quick who Frank Gifford's running mate was. And I'll bring you back up in a second. Hold on. Let's take a peek here. All right. Frank Gifford. Let's see. One of Frank Gifford's big-time rushing years. Let's take a peek here. Let's go back to the 60s. Here we go. Now let's go to 55. That's a good one. In 1955, Alex Webster ran for 600 yards. That was one of Frank Gifford's injured years. Only ran for 351. So if I go to one of the title years, let's see. There we go, 59. That's when the Giants went 10-2, won the NFL championship here. Yeah, you know what? 100% right. Frank Gifford, 540 yards. Alex Webster, 250. Mel Triplett in the mix there, too. So good call, Joe. I'm going to bring you back up. You're right. It was Webster and Frank Gifford. Way to bring me back. That is an excellent point. Back then, they used multiple running backs, and you can easily put Alex Webster and Frank Gifford in that mix for best rushing tandem ever. Good job.
Okay. Thank you.
All right, appreciate the call, Joe. Thanks a lot. He's right. He's going old school on me. It's funny. I thought about that at the top of the show, and I couldn't remember who Gifford's running mate was. And for the most part, it does appear that it was Alex Webster. Then when Gifford retired quickly there, Webster came in. He was the leading rusher for a bit. So, yeah. Throw Gifford and Webster into the mix, too, and Mel Triplett, too. You can throw him into that mix. Another guy that was a big part of that team in the late 50s that won all those championships. So, good job by Joe. Excellent work. Appreciate the call. 201-939-4513. Steve's in Washington, D.C. Steve, what's going on?
Hey, not too much, guys. Listen, I wanted to answer the question. I guess I would have to go with the Earth, Wind, and Fire package. I wish I could say it was a tandem, but it's got to be Earth, Wind, and Fire to me all day. And the reason I think that they were so successful is obviously you got three backs. That means you're running the ball on a pretty consistent basis. And we were winning then. And personally, I think that you know when we run the ball on a consistent basis and we impose our will, it just helps our all-around game. I mean, I think that that's when we had the most dominant defenses because the defense actually got time to rest. And we imposed our will. We took the heart out of the opposing teams. And I really hope that Joe Bright gets around to running the ball consistently. I don't really think it's that we had better running backs. I think that Wilson and Brown are more than capable. I think we have a great offensive line and have always had one as far as since Eli's been here. I just think that we haven't stayed with the run for whatever reason. And I really hope we get back to playing true Giants football and start imposing our will because I just think that, you know, it helps our all-around game. You know, especially with the time of possession, like I was saying all the time, you know, even in our wins, we didn't have the ball for very long, which is, to me, very troubling. And it really is reason, I think, a big part of why we didn't have the success that we should have had last year. What do you think, Joe?
Steve, I agree on a couple aspects. One, I think the Giants will run the ball if it's successful. The one thing Kevin Gilbride is not going to do is to pound the ball at the running game if they're not getting yards. He's not going to do that because he has enough faith in Eli Manning to gain yards to the passing game. So if they want to pound it, they got to be successful. That's number one. Number two, in terms of the Giants and their offensive line, I think 2008 was one of the better offensive lines in Giants history, going back to the Suburbanites. They were excellent. And I think you've seen a steady decline in that offensive line play up until 2011. Last year, I think it ticked up a little bit again, but I don't think this offensive line is where it was back in 2008. And really, to me, as good as the running backs are, unless you have big holes being created by the offensive line, your running game is going to be limited. You know what I mean?
Oh, I couldn't. I definitely agree with that. You know, I just don't really know if it was the offensive line or it was just the fact that we were always pass blocking instead of run blocking. I mean, most of the offensive linemen, they'd rather run block, you know, and impose that. Well, excuse me. That's kind of me. It always just like when you play the home run ball, you're constantly trying to push the ball on the pace. We always get into these high scoring games all of a sudden. I mean, that's really not what we've had our most success. I mean, I don't mind our offensive scoring, but that means that their offense is on the field a lot more. I just think if we a little bit more methodical and take the heart out of people, we'll win a lot more games. But to me, I really would like to, you know, look at the breakdown as far as the talent possession. I just think that they kind of go hand in hand with our success. And our scoring points is all great and all, but I think that I'd rather just win the game. You know, so.
All right, Steve, I appreciate the call, pal.
Thanks for taking me. Have a good one.
Hey, you too, man. Let's to win games, Steve, you got to score points. And time and possession doesn't mean anything unless you get points out of it. And 7 points, not three. And again, if you want to run the ball and you want to win time possession, run it effectively. Get 3 or 4 yards a carry. Or rather, get 4 or 5 yards a carry. Don't settle for three. Be consistent. Get in the second and fives and second and fours. Don't be in second and eight all day. If you run a first down, you're in second and eight all game. Guess what? You shouldn't run on a first down. It's a bad play. 201-939-4513. Andrew's in Virginia. Andrew, what's going on?
Hey, John. Thanks for having me on. I have to go with Bradshaw and Jacobs. 2 Super Bowls in 5 years. I can't give it to Earth, Wind, and Fire because, you know, we lost to Philly at home.
That's fair.
And you know, Ward had a great year, 5 yards per carry for both Jacobs and Ward. I know Bradshaw brought so much intensity, and he showed that every year that he was on the team. And I just can't help but think, what might have been if he was the number two then? I mean, our offensive line was stellar that year, and I think the numbers show that. I think you and I could have gotten through some of those holes on crutches. So, you know, and I go back to that Carolina game. We just ran. It was one of the great games to sort of send us into the playoffs as the number one seed. And, you know, it was a great year to watch running the football on our offensive line and everything, but I've got to give it to Bradshaw and Jacobs. If you go with the single best runner, it's got to be Kiki. I mean, say what you want about the guy. I've met him several times. He's a good guy, and he did a lot for us. And, you know, he should probably be heralded among all Giants fans for what he did for that organization.
Hey, Andrew, I'm happy you said that because you're right. If you look at the single best running back in Giants history, it's got to be Tiki Barber. I know he doesn't have a Super Bowl ring, and I know he says he has said a lot of dumb things since he's left the game. And, you know, at times when he was a player, he said some pretty dumb things. But in terms of a running back on the field, for a span of 3 or 4 years, he was getting 1,500 yards a season. He was a true number one running back. He could catch the ball out of the backfield, pass protect. He could do it all. And I agree. I think if you're looking for a single Giants running back, unless you want to throw Frank Gifford into the mix, who obviously is a Hall of Fame player, I think Tiki Barber is next on that list.
Yep, and I'm really going to miss Bradshaw. I wish him lots of luck in Indy. He was one of my favorite players. I mean, just for a guy that's actually, I look nothing like the guy, but he's my height, my weight. For a guy my size to go out there and do what he does and basically get over 1,000 yards a couple years ago with the worst offensive line in football, just shows you how determined he was and what a leader he was. And he put it out there every Sunday that he played, banged up. You know he was banged up the whole time. I mean, I just love that guy, and I'm going to miss him. But I look forward to seeing what Brown and what's the guy's name?
Wilson.
Wilson. Well, David Wilson can do. And, you know, I'm down here in Virginia. He was at Tech. You know, I do pull for him, even though his name just slipped my mind a little bit. But, you know, I really think there's enough dynamics there going forward to be good. Brown, I think, could be a blocker. We'll see what Wilson can do. But Wilson out of the backfield, if Eli can check it down a little bit more too this year and not force something, there could be some explosions out of that backfield with David Wilson catching the ball too.
Sounds good, Andrew. Appreciate the call, my friend.
All right, man. Take care.
Good job. Good job by Andrew, and I agree. Tiki, best individual running back after Frank Gifford. I'll put him after Gifford. Gifford's a Hall of Famer after all. Tiki, probably not. So I'll put him after Gifford. But look, Joe Morris didn't do it for long enough. OJ didn't do it here for long enough. Tiki's better than individually Bradshaw or Jacobs, in my opinion. So I think you got to give it to Tiki. So in terms of the tandems, we got Gifford, Alex Webster. I like the Hampton-David Meggett combination. Because even though Meggett didn't run the ball, he caught 60 balls a year in the early 90s. Big part of that offense. Tiki and Dane, I'll keep that in the mix. I know people aren't big on Ron Dane, but that was the original Thunder and Lightning deal. Then you have Earth, Wind, and Fire. So I'll keep him into the same category. You have the Jacobs, Bradshaw, and then a pinch of Derek Ward in there. That's really where you're at. Some good running backs in Giants history. We'll take three more calls, then we're going to say goodbye. Let's go to Lawrence down in Florida. Lawrence, what's going on, pal? How are you?
Oh, hi, thanks for having me.
Thanks for calling, Lawrence. What's up?
I'm going to go back to the 60s. I know everyone's probably going to make fun. But when they had the baby Bulls, Tucker Fredrickson and Chuck Messine.
Nice. Tucker Fredrickson's a guy I know was a – I think he was the first overall pick for the Giants, if memory serves.
Yeah.
And overall, his career was a bit of a disappointment because of injuries. But him and Messine were a pretty darn good running back combination. Unfortunately, the Giants didn't have a ton of success in the late 60s, so people tend to forget about it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I even like that name, though, the Baby Bulls. I remember Chuck Messine went to Green Bay.
Yep.
And I'm a bartender out in the West Hampton, the Hamptons, and I was at the bartending one night, and these two ladies were at the bar. One of them turned out to be Chuck Messine's wife.
Huh.
So I was telling her how I was a big Giant fan. I remember he used to have the newspaper, him and Bobby Duhon. I used to get the newspaper. So anyway, the next day she brought him in, and he gave me an autograph for Chuck Messine, Giant football card, and some Giant newspapers.
That's fantastic.
So I just wanted to mention them.
No, I appreciate it. Thanks for the call. I appreciate it.
All right, thanks for having me.
Hey, thanks for calling in, Lawrence. Appreciate it. I love the older guys bringing it today. On the web, on the Giants app, 50s and 60s Giants football. Let's go. Love it. Love it. I got to give Neelay credit. He came up with this question, and we're getting crazy calls on it. Good job, Mr. Neelay Shah. We wish him well, by the way. Had epidural last week, struggling with a herniated disc. Struggling, but doing a good job working from home. He was in the other day, walking around like Frankenstein. Tough, very tough. Let's go to Dave in Rochester. Dave, what's going on, pal?
Johnny, good morning. I think we can assume that the Bradshaw and Jacobs era has led to Pack, but a couple calls ago kind of stole my thunder a little bit. I think 10 years from now, we might be having this conversation and saying that Wilson and somebody else could be the next tandem. I think you might be able to include Wilson in that conversation. The caller a couple calls ago mentioned, and my question to you is, do you think we might be using Wilson out of the backfield to make some catches? I think he had maybe five plays over 20 yards just last year. He does catch the ball, and he can be explosive.
Yep.
So is that a possibility?
Yes, I think in 10 years, if David Wilson meets his potential, he has a chance to be in a conversation with some of the better running backs in NFL history. And I know a lot of people, you know, and I've said this year, look, David Wilson has not proven he can carry the load. But if I want to project here, and I'm just going based on what I've seen from him and what I've seen in the NFL, to me, if I want to pick a player that David Wilson compares to, at least for me, it's work done. They're very similarly built. They're both smaller, shorter guys, but they have such thick bases. Their legs are like tree trunks. And work done, despite his small size and stature, ended up being a pretty darn durable running back. And when he paired with Mike Allstott, that was a great combination for Tampa Bay. So if I'm going to project David Wilson, I think work done is a pretty good projection if you want to try to look forward and see exactly how good he can be. And I do think in 10 years, I'm not sure Andre Brown's going to be that second guy just because he can't stay healthy.
Right.
But I think David Wilson can be in that conversation for sure.
But, and I think that his performance last year was that 300-yard total yards where he kind of covered all the bases. That's one of the things that he'll be judged by, I think. So.
I appreciate the call. Thanks a lot, Dave.
Thanks, Jen.
Appreciate it. Bye. Let's go to our last call of the show. Let's go to Bob in Seattle. Bob, what's going on, man?
Hey, John. Hey, with the running game this year, I think if we have a well-balanced offense, I think our receiving core is going to be top-notch this year, and I think it'll open up the running game, and I think it'll also help out on the offensive line.
Yeah, you know, I think the running game and the passing game have to be balanced for sure, and we'll see exactly what happens as they go ahead, but I think it comes down to the offensive line. This offensive line has to create holes. David Wilson and Andre Brown can be as good as they can be, but unless they have holes to run through, they're going to struggle, and then Eli Manning might have to force some stuff that's not there. But much like Kakeem Nix's return, and if he's 100%, it'll help Victor Cruz get more big plays, it's going to help the running game too. Because if you have to keep two safeties deep to watch out for Randall, Nix, Cruz, you should be able to get some room in the running game.
Yeah. A lot of the double team, you know. It'll take a lot of pressure off double team.
Nah, no question. You know, and it's going to make it a lot harder to double-team the wide receivers. If you have to worry about putting an extra guy in the box, you can only double-team one wide receiver. Somebody's going to get open.
Exactly, which will help, you know, help open up the running game, I think, too, for us.
It works both ways, certainly.
Yeah, and I got on defense with Herzlick. You think he'll be to take charge? He'll be able to take charge and, you know, of the defense and call the on, you know, to make the changes on the field?
Yeah, right now, Bob, I think where Herzlick is best in terms of a football player and a linebacker is his knowledge of the defense, his leadership in communicating. So I think that part's okay. What we don't know yet is once the pads come on and they're playing, you know, live bullets against other teams, is he a good enough athlete to get sideline to sideline, cover running backs and tight ends, and do those other things that are required of an NFL running back? Is he athletic enough to do those things and cover and be that type of impact linebacker? He hasn't proven that yet. So until he does that, I'm not giving him the job.
True. Exactly.
Fair?
All right.
Thanks,
yeah,
Bob.
Fair enough. Thanks, John.
Appreciate the call. Wow. Guys, I got to say, this is a lively show. All the callers were on top of it. All the callers were good. Great opinions. Great points. Marwan Ali, make it a revolutionary player when it came to playing scat back on third downs. That's the point I was making before. Really one of the first true third down backs in the NFL, actually. Bill Parcells, very clever in how he used Dave Meggett. So if I had to rank him, listening to all you guys talk now, how would I do it? It's a good question. All right, I'm going to go old school. I'm with Joe. That was Joe in North Carolina. I'm going Gifford Alex Webster. You have a Hall of Famer and another all-time Giant great. So I got to go them one, too. I believe both of them are in the Ring of Honor, aren't they? Alex Webster and Frank Gifford? I believe they are. So I got to go them number one. Number two, they got two Super Bowls. So I'll go Bradshaw Jacobs with a pinch of Derek Ward. I'll go Hampton Meggett with a close third. They never won one together. I know Hampton was on the 90 team, but you know, Otis kind of took over that team in the Super Bowl. But Hampton was a big part during the regular season, obviously. And Meggett was a big part of that, too. So they're three. And I'll go Tiki Dane, four. And then I'll go the Baby Bulls with Mercine and Tucker Fredrickson, five. That one's for you, Lawrence. Great job on the phones, guys. Great jobs on Twitter. We appreciate it. We'll be back with you tomorrow morning. Maybe we'll try to get Eisen to come on tomorrow morning at 10 o'clock right here on Giants.com. Talk some Giants football. Everyone enjoy the great weather. Have a good one. We'll see you tomorrow morning right here on Giants.com.